Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a breaking story. Well, breaking from yesterday, last night. Michael Saylor steps down as CEO of MicroStrategy. Most of you know from watching this channel, I've said the time when I step in to buy Bitcoin is when Michael Saylor sells. That is my catalyst to know it is time to buy, that we've hit a bottom, and that we're at a moment of capitulation. Now, he's not selling yet, but stepping down as CEO, I think this could be a big deal. So let's head over to an article from Fortune. And then I've actually got their P&Ls pulled up from last quarter, so we can check this out. And I've got some commentary on this as well from what I've seen on Twitter. I'll save that for later in the video, because I think this will reveal something to you that will hopefully you can use as an edge in your investing longer term. But we'll get into that in a moment. So let's start with this article from Fortune. Here he is, Michael Saylor, founder of MicroStrategy. Co-founder said he will no longer serve as CEO and will assume a new role of executive chairman. Now, what's funny is the rationale they give for him stepping down and taking this new role. And hopefully they'll get into it here. I'll let the cat out of the bag. He said that he's stepping down to focus on accumulating more Bitcoin. So, I mean, we'll go over the P&L in a moment, but last quarter they didn't turn a profit. So they don't have any money to buy Bitcoin. Maybe they can borrow some more, maybe sell shares, something like that. I'm not sure how a publicly traded company works. I've run several businesses, but never even close to a publicly traded company. So when I owned a business, I couldn't just sell shares to buy Bitcoin. I actually had to make profit, buy stuff. As crazy as that sounds, I actually had to make money. So anyway, even if they had the money to buy Bitcoin, assuming they could come up with it, how long does that take? I was under the assumption that buying Bitcoin was pretty quick and seamless. I think that's one of the selling points, isn't it? That you can just buy it wherever you are in the world, and it's very easy. It's cross-border payments. You don't have to deal with banks. How much time actually does it take to buy Bitcoin? Let's just say 5 minutes. So you're stepping down as a CEO of your company, because this 5 minutes that it takes you to buy Bitcoin is so taxing on your mental bandwidth that you just cannot do both at the same time. I'm giving them a hard time here, but come on. And then I guess they went on to say that it's not only accumulating Bitcoin, but it's also, I don't know the words they used, but he basically trying to convince other corporations to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet. So again, just seems shady as hell, doesn't it? I mean, my goodness gracious, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's go on through the article here. A sailor who made owning Bitcoin Tyson's Corner. I actually know Tyson's Corner well. I used to have an office in Tyson's Corner way back in the day. But Bitcoin tumbled 59%. This quarter, okay, we all know this. So the president, Phong Le, will take the CEO role. So they get into some of the financials, but I want to save that for the actual P&L, because I don't know, you can sit here and read it in the story, but like this net quarterly loss of a billion, it's very misleading, because like 918 of that was just a paper loss from writing down the Bitcoin they have on their balance sheet. So that doesn't, I know it matters, but to me, it really doesn't matter that much, because, or I should say, it doesn't matter as much as the cash flows, because the cash flows, that's what you have to service the debt payment. So if you got strong cash flows, but you got a write down of a billion because of a paper loss, that's a big deal, but not that big of a deal. If you're actually producing a net profit of negative $1 billion, then that's a much bigger problem, in my opinion. But let's keep going here. So you guys know the story. They've accumulated all this Bitcoin, basically 130,000. Okay. So that's the story. I don't know where I read, maybe it was on the CNBC article, that he was stepping down in order to accumulate more Bitcoin and go out on the road and just start trying to convince other companies to buy more Bitcoin. I mean, he says he's doing that as a service to mankind. To me, it seems like he's doing it because he wants the price to go up, because he's painted himself into a corner where if the price doesn't go up, he is effed, to say the least. And he would be probably the biggest laughingstock in the last 20 years, at least in the last 10 or 15 years for sure. So let's go over to the P&L. And I'm zooming in so you guys can see this a little easier. So pretty straightforward here. In fact, my P&L for my last business was a little even probably harder to read. That's because I set up the chart of accounts. That's probably why. But we've got the revenues, product licenses, subscription services, product support, other services. Got total revenues of $122 million, I'm guessing. And we've got the cost of goods sold. So I'd say that they say the cost of revenues. This is about 25. So it gives you a gross profit of $96 million. Now you've got your expenses. We've got sales and marketing, R&D, general and administrative. And then you've got your loss, the digital asset impairment loss is what they're calling it. That's the paper loss from Bitcoin. So this was $917 million or $918 million, like I said earlier. So let's just forget this for a moment, because what I really want to focus on is how much money are they making? Or how much money are they actually losing as far as coming into their bank account, not just paper gains and losses. So if we just take 36 and 31, gives us 67 plus 28. My math is right, gives us 95. We got some change here. So you're at a break even, plain and simple. Then you have your interest expense. I'm assuming, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming this is their cost to service the debt they have on their balance sheet as a result of buying all this Bitcoin. So let's just assume for a moment that is the case. They've got $13,000. Now the $5,000, I'm not sure where other income expense, I'm not sure where they're getting this, but let's just assume for a moment their quarterly cost or their quarterly debt service payments, $13 million. Okay, so let's see if I got the balance sheet here. We do. Good, good, good. Got the balance sheet. How much cash do they have? $69 million. So it is true. They've got accounts receivable. When I was in business, maybe it was just because the types of businesses I had, I never really put too much weight on the accounts receivable. I always kind of considered that dead money. Now, their business could be different. Maybe they have their clients pay them quarterly. They give them a bill of like net 30 or net 60, meaning pay us in 30 days or 60 days, something like that. So their accounts receivable could be far more secure than any business I had. But for me, it was a kind of a cash-based business, or most of the businesses were cash-based. So if they didn't pay up front, the chances of them paying or making payments were very, very low. But this could be a completely different business. But I would assume that last quarter's accounts receivable would be this quarter's cash and cash equivalents, right? So if they have this type of business where they're billing people and they're paying them for services up front, they're paying them in the rears for services up front, well, okay, that means that this $69 million is a result, to a certain degree, of the accounts receivable that they had last month. So I don't know that you could say, okay, well, next month or next quarter, if they receive all the accounts receivable, well, now all of a sudden they're going to have 100 and call it $80 million on the balance sheet in cash. Maybe not though. So I think that's open-ended, but let's just focus on the cash and cash equivalents, $69 million. Okay. So what we're saying here is we're making no money. We're making no profit. And also, too, I want to point out, I went back and looked at their 2021 comparable quarter, and they made a little bit of profit, but not much. So it doesn't seem like this is a business where they only make they have this weird year in 2022 where it's an anomaly. And for some reason, they're in a lull where they're not making any cash, but usually they're just printing money and making billions of dollars a year. It doesn't seem like MicroStrategy is that type of business from what I can see here. So they're not making any money, or at least they didn't last quarter, pretty much made zero profit. But yet they have, let's just say, $13 million a quarter in cost or expense to service their debt. Well, that is what, 5 quarters of runway that you've got, 4 or 5 quarters before you're out of money, unless you can get a profit turning. And even if you can, I mean, that's a little, you're the way I would categorize this back in my business days is you're running very thin. And like I said on Twitter, if this was just a business I own, let's say it wasn't 96 million. Let's just say this was a business that, my revenues were 1.2 million and the gross profit was 960,000. And let's just say it's thousands, make it a little more realistic. If I owned this business, I would be very worried. This would cause me to lose sleep at night, because the business is not making a profit and I've still got to service the debt. And I know a lot of people on Twitter, let's go over that because I mentioned that earlier. When I tweeted this out last night, the entire conversation from what I saw revolved around Bitcoin. Like, people forget there's an underlying business. Like, this is not a Bitcoin fund. I guess maybe they've turned it into that, but it seems like the people get so focused on what is Bitcoin going to do, what's Bitcoin going to do, they forget the business has got to make money to service the debt. Like, they have debt payments. That matters. So the company's profit at the end of the day, that matters as well. So it's not just all about Bitcoin, because if Bitcoin doesn't go up, I would assume they're underwater. I know they're underwater as far as the Bitcoin they've purchased, because their average purchase price is around 30,000. Now, I don't know how much debt they have outstanding relative to the amount of Bitcoin they have on their balance sheet. So as an example, maybe they didn't borrow, and I don't think they did. I think they had a lot of cash on their balance sheet to buy the Bitcoin in the first place. So they didn't borrow 100% of what they used to buy the 130,000 Bitcoin they have. That's important. And that is something that they have as that would help me sleep better, let's just say, at night, from the standpoint of the market amount or the market price for the Bitcoin they have could be, let's say, 2 billion, and they only owe 2 billion. So right now they could sell their Bitcoin and pay off their debt. Now they'd still have a company that doesn't make any money. So I don't know how they could justify their share price. I guess you could say, trademarks or I don't know. I never got into the accounting of publicly traded companies to that degree. So I'm sure there's some sort of value there. But for me, I don't hold much value in a company that doesn't make profit, that doesn't make money. And it's not like it's a startup, for heaven's sakes. The guy started the company in 1989. So it's not like it's this huge growth story like Tesla or something like that. No, in fact, from what I've seen, the revenues are actually declining. They're not increasing. In fact, here you go. So your revenues, total revenues for the 3 months ending in June 30th for 2021, 125 million, 2021, 2022, 122 million. So, and the 6 months, same thing. Revenues are actually declining. So you've got a business that's contracting, and they don't make profit. So not something I would want to own. Let's just put it that way. But the good news is they may have enough, the value of the Bitcoin they have on their balance sheet could be enough to pay off the debt, assuming the price stays the same right now. I don't know. We'd have to get more into the weeds. But the main point I wanted to make by going over the P&L is, in my opinion, they're in a very precarious position. Now, I understand they've got a lot of ways to service the debt. They could sell Bitcoin. But there again, if you're selling the Bitcoin to pay off the debt What is that going to do to your share price? I mean, I don't know how people could see that as bullish. I guess they've got the accounts receivable. They've got some ways to pay it. I'm sure they could sell shares. But if they start doing those things, the bottom line here is if they can't service the debt out of profit, that's very bearish for, I would assume, that's very bearish for their share price. And when I saw this on CNBC, or when I was reading about this on CNBC last night, I saw that like 53 or 57% of the shares outstanding are sold short. That makes a lot of sense to me, because this is a business that's, if assuming Bitcoin doesn't go up. Now, if Bitcoin goes back up to 60,000, they're good to go for the time being. You know, they could easily pay off their debt. They've got plenty of profits from Bitcoin, and they could just transition their money-losing business maybe into something else. Maybe they could pivot. But I'm guessing this is kind of why they've done what they did, or why they did what they did, as far as Michael Saylor stepping down, because he put so much of his time and energy into Bitcoin, and the people around him are probably like, dude, just FYI, remember your business is losing money, or your business is not making profit. So let's get someone in charge as CEO that's actually focused on the business, because this is what we need to service the debt, my friend. And then let you go off and talk up Bitcoin, or, you know, go to conferences, do podcasts, do whatever you want to try to pump up the price of Bitcoin. So if I was in his position, and thank goodness I'm not, but if I was, that makes a lot of sense. Let's get a guy in there that can focus on the business, so I can focus on doing everything I can to drum up more demand or what is on my balance sheet to increase the price. And I can do it under the guise of trying to save the world. Whether his true intention is to save the world and other corporations, or just bail himself out, I'll let you be the judge. But should this be a time, or is this a time to buy Bitcoin? I don't know that there's enough panic, but I'm getting very excited. That's for sure. Because when you start to see signs like this, it could mean that we're a lot closer to a capitulation moment in Bitcoin, and that is the time that I want to step in and buy. And I also really like the fact that there is so much bad news in the crypto space. I mean, even last night, not even Saylor, there was other news on CNBC, kind of like a tug at your heartstring story about all the quote-unquote investors with Celsius and how broke they are now. And when you start seeing stuff like that in the news, and it's not affecting the price of Bitcoin, and Saylor stepping down, I mean, that means it's very resilient. And I think that's definitely a bullish sign. Although I don't see enough panic right now that would prompt me to step in and pull the trigger. But we'll have to see how it plays out. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.